breathing is really, really important. And I think that's what we don't prioritize or we don't think about when we're in fight training.
This is the Action Filmmaking Decoded Podcast. A podcast dedicated to raw action analysis.
Ooh, my gosh. For fans of action cinema out there, how badass would that be?
Each week, we bring you a new action filmmaker to break down your favorite scenes.
360 off person, round kick the guy from a 360 spin.
Now, introducing your hosts, Darren Tun and Mike Messina.
Hello and welcome back to the Action Filmmaking Decoded Podcast. I'm your host, Darren Tun, and with me is my co-host, Mike Messina.
Hello.
Today we are interviewing Vanessa Campos. She is a Muay Thai fighter, MMA announcer, presenter, commentator, and now actress. Her new film, Never Back Down Revolt, is out now on all streaming platforms and is starring Michael Bisping. Mike, what are some big takeaways from this episode?
Honestly, biggest thing that I took away from Vanessa, other than that she's a super cool person and super nice human being to be talking to, it was really inspiring to hear someone's story who very recently jumped into not only the film action film world, but just the martial arts and fighting world in general. It's been a few years since she started, and her first film gig was here, a franchise as big as Never Back Down, with an MMA fighter slash celebrity star as big as Michael Bisping. That was super cool to hear about.
Yeah, she really dips her hands in like a lot of different things, it seems. So it looks like she started in fighting. And then with that fight experience, she brought that into commentating and announcing and stuff like that. And now with all that fight experience, she's also going into action films and doing that kind of thing too, and acting. So really a lot of different things. I guess my biggest takeaway is from when she talked about her first fight and her expectation going into that fight and thinking that she was going to look cool and everything. And when she was doing those punches, she was practicing all these things. And then finally, when she got into the rink, it was way different, way scarier, way more intimidating. Just a whole nother thing that she was not expecting, but definitely a great experience and has carried into the rest of her life.
Yeah, totally. And you can actually see some of her Muay Thai fights. I think one of the two are actually on YouTube if you search her up.
Yeah. So now, without further ado, here is Vanessa Campos. All right. Hello, Vanessa. Thank you for coming on our podcast and talking with us. How are you doing today?
Doing good. Thank you guys so much. I ate so much food because of Christmas, but all good.
Nice.
And you're from the Philippines, right? I always hear that Christmas is really big in the Philippines.
Yes. I'm from the Philippines. Yes.
Awesome.
Did you celebrate there?
No, I'm in the UK at the moment.
Okay, cool. So we also wanted to say congrats on the engagement. We were just wondering how that's been so far.
Oh, thank you guys so much. That's so sweet. Yeah, it's been good. I mean, the pandemic has pushed a lot of our wedding plans. So hopefully we're really aiming for next year. I mean, but then this Omicron thing happened. So like, we don't know.
It seems exciting though.
Oh yeah, thank you guys. You guys are so young. So you guys have your whole life ahead of you.
Yeah, no wedding planning just yet. Nothing just yet.
And yeah, secondly, congrats on the film, of course. Super exciting. We took a look 2 days ago. It was really something. And I know Michael Bisping's also in it as well.
Oh, great. Yeah, exactly. Thank you guys for watching. That it means a lot.
Of course. Yeah, he knows how to play a bad guy pretty well, I feel like. And there's some turns in the film, some scenes where he is acting his butt off, acting his face off. And he is very good.
He's doing a good job, yeah.
Yeah, I definitely want to dive a little more into the film itself a little bit later. But first, looking at your career, so on top of, you know, doing action filmmaking, and then there's also the actual fight business and the fight media that you're doing, it all actually seems like sort of recent developments for you, all things that you started to do within the last few years and then started pursuing at a really high level. I'm wondering, what was Vanessa like before stepping into the combat, martial arts, action movie world? What were the things that you were doing and into before that?
Oh, that's such a good question. I don't get asked that a lot. Like, I mean, a lot of people kind of want to ask your recent, you know. Oh my God, Vanessa. Okay, Vanessa before combat sports was trying to be an architect. I wanted to become an architect. So I studied architecture. I was very, very nerdy. Braces. And all, I mean, you know, I miss those simpler times, I think. I mean, those times you were only worrying about midterms and exams, you know? And now you can't, well, going into combat sports, you kind of worry about getting hit in the face. You know, it's very different.
Yeah, a different kind of final exam, definitely. So does anything from that architecture interest or that academic world sort of carry over? Are there any benefits or transferable skills that you found from your days as a student?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, being an architect, you have to be very creative, and as well as being business-minded as well. I think that's what a lot of people don't know, you know? I mean, to propose a project, you're basically almost like a salesman, right? So it kind of carries over to life as of right now, where, you know, you kind of propose yourself as the talent that you are fitting into films. You know, at the end of the day, everyone's just trying to be their own CEO, really, right? We're in this gig economy right now that everyone's just hustling, which I love. I think I come from a very traditional Asian background. So, you know, being a doctor, lawyer is the job that you should do. But I think there's other way around that people can be so successful, you know? I mean, Conor McGregor is an MMA fighter, you know? Michael Bisping doing action movies right now. So I think there's a lot of things that I think people need to be a bit more open-minded. And if you go to school for a certain thing, it doesn't mean at the end of the day you end up with what you studied, right? I don't know if that answered your question. I was kind of going
No, that was great. I'm kind of wondering, with all the things that you do, you know, you go from like fighting to commentating to modeling, acting, studied architecture. What's your life philosophy? Are you trying to be like the best at something, or are you trying to go like with the flow and kind of see what feels right?
Yeah, I mean, I would like to be the best at something, but no one's perfect and no one can be the best of the best, you know? I mean, I think the best way is to go with the flow, because you just never know what happened. I mean, heck, did we know the pandemic was going to happen? No, right? So I think people just need to let loose a little and just, if that's what you want to do, you go for it. But I don't think you should set yourself some limits, you know?
Right.
Definitely. And speaking of, you know, Darren mentioned sort of going with the flow, discovering new things. And we talked about you going from just entering into the world of martial arts and then becoming someone who's talking to Conor McGregor and working with Michael Bisping and seeing all these awesome people, interviewing folks. I saw you interviewed Angela Lee, who I'm a big fan of. She's great. She's great. She's young and already on top of the world. So that's fantastic.
Absolutely. And she just had a family.
Yeah, I saw. Congrats to Angela Lee. If you're listening now or in the future, and if you want to come onto the show, you know, go ahead and hit us up. But it got me wondering about you stepping into the world of self-defense and martial arts and wondering where that initial interest came from, where that initial motivation came from.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when I was studying, you know, back in school doing architecture, I just felt like it was more like my friends back when we would go to a bar and, you know, just for self-defense, you know, you come home at night. I think for me, it really was like, we need to protect ourselves. I think that's how it started. I actually went with a group of friends to learn martial arts. That was it. That's how it all started. And then from there, I kind of just wanted to pursue a competitive side of it, because I thought it was amazing and empowering seeing all these female martial artists do their thing, you know, be beautiful, but be badass at the same time was not known at that time. You know, it's still very new. So I think that's what I wanted to conquer and try. And it's been a journey for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And I guess coming from that, you know, self-defense standpoint, do you know probably what martial art might be best for someone like starting out in self-defense?
Yeah, absolutely. I think honestly, the hardest is jiu-jitsu, but I think it's the best one for girls to learn, or anyone, not just girls. I think boys and girls to learn, because jiu-jitsu is the hardest and it takes time. So it's better you start earlier than later.
Right.
I did the opposite way around. I did Muay Thai and boxing first before jiu-jitsu. And now I'm getting older, so everything cracks. Everything hurts. So I think jiu-jitsu first, because once you get good at the grappling ground game, I think you win. I'm not saying you go out there in the streets and grapple somebody. I'm not promoting that.
So I know you've been practicing your jiu-jitsu. How's your ground game right now?
Not good. Really not. Good.
wait, when did you start? It was like about a year or so? Or a couple years?
less than a year ago, I think, during the pandemic, I think. How it started was I just started learning online.
Oh, like, I was looking at
Danaher's like videos, and I was like, okay, once the gyms are open, let me try out jiu-jitsu. And it is so difficult because the endurance for rolling, when you know, I mean, we call it sparring or rolling. When you roll, and especially with people who are like higher belts than you, you can't breathe on the ground. It's like it's just another level. And it's all about legs, you know, and it's hard.
Yeah, I feel like a whole other kind of cardio. Like, you could be a marathon runner, but then as soon as you throw on a gi and start to grab onto someone, you get gas like
that.
You
could be sweating.
Have you guys tried it?
Yeah, we're both into it a little bit, I'll say.
Oh, great. Oh, that's great. Do you guys compete in it?
I want to compete soon. I don't think I'm there yet, but...
Gi.
Yeah.
Oh, sick. Okay, that's good. Yeah. You'd be awesome. I feel like you'd be so agile. You guys are so young, you know?
Gotta absorb all the information. Yeah.
Just a couple of weeks in, I know we're just like bending joints and like going in different directions. And I'm like, oh my God.
Have you had a leg lock done to you yet?
Yeah. That feels...
I've been leg locked.
Honestly, the ankle lock doesn't feel bad. But I heard that if you kind of let that go on for a little while, like you can... really
damage
something.
Yeah, that's the dangerous part. You don't always realize for some of those leg locks until it's too late.
Yeah.
Exactly. Until you're like, oh, it's fine. And then the next day you have a huge bruise. You can't walk on your legs. Then you're like,
Your knee's bending sideways. It's not supposed to do that. I didn't learn how to do that.
Yeah. The ankles do seem to be like a weak point for a lot of bigger guys. I know like even getting them into like an arm bar or something like that is very difficult for me, but just getting them to an ankle lock seems to be a little bit easier. I don't know why.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
You know, maybe that's your tactic. Don't tell people that. Don't tell people.
I just announced it all.
Gonna rebrand as the armbar guy, and then you're gonna just dive for the ankles right at the start, right from the top. Trick them out. And so I know you've also come up first as a striker, and it's something you've talked about before. One of your fights we saw online. Kicking butt in the ring. Do you have any advice for someone doing Muay Thai, or any of the best advice that you've gotten personally in terms of Muay Thai or kickboxing, K1, stuff like that?
Yeah, I mean, the best advice is defense, which I'm not very good at. I think that's my weakest. Defense is the best. I mean, yes, attack, but if you don't have a defense game plan, like, you just don't step in the ring. I think a lot of people, especially when you're starting out, you get so hyped up and you're like, okay, I'm gonna do this combo. I'm gonna look fancy, in front of the judges. It's gonna look cool on Instagram. But really, if you get knocked out, if one punch lands through, like, your game plan just changes. You know what I mean? And I think that's what you need. You need to learn a lot about head movement, defense, blocks. Footwork is super important. I'm not very good at it. Again, my footwork is really crap. Sorry, pardon my French, but footwork is one of the priority, I think, before you start with any in striking.
Yeah, I know you're talking about expectation versus reality. And I think there was a Mike Tyson quote or something where it was like, everyone has a plan until you get punched in the face.
Exactly. That's a good one.
Yeah. I guess I'm wondering, expectation versus reality. Like, before you headed into the rink, did you have any expectations that were kind of like shattered once you were in the rink? Like, were there any like new things that you learned while you were like doing your first fight? That you learned during or after, yeah. Just like, did anything change, your mindset change once you went into your first real fight?
Oh yeah, I was scared for my life.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, I thought I could beat the girl. I thought I could be badass. You know, when you do the pads, when you spar, you feel good. And your teammates are like amping you up. And then your coach, like, yeah, you got this.
Yeah.
And then... when you get in there, man, it's just you and your opponent, and it's fear, you know? And I mean, a lot of fighters nowadays, they have a sports psychology coach. Mm-hmm. Which is so important with the mental. I think we forget that a lot. Like, yes, we're very physical, right? The sport is very physical, but it's also very mental because it's just you and your opponent. And I think that's what I learned, that I needed to work on my mental game more than my actual physicalities, if that made sense.
Yeah, that's a big part. Yeah. I think back in the day, Robin Black, when he was still with Fight Network, used to have a podcast, a whole show just dedicated to fight psychology. I feel like it only went for a couple episodes, but that is such a big topic, you're right.
Yeah.
And it's something that I think a lot of fans don't really realize. It's something you have to actually work on. It's not something that you can just kind of hope gets better. It's something that a lot of athletes need to really intentionally look at.
Right. Because I feel like you said you plan everything out and it doesn't turn out exactly the way you'd expect.
Unfortunately, I mean, you know, you can only control what you can control. So that's your diet pre-fight. That's your conditioning pre-fight, your sparring game, your game plan with your coaches. But once you're there, it's how are you going to deal with it? You know, you don't know until you're actually in there. Especially when you're going to compete, Mike, right? You're going to compete soon. Oh, hopefully soon.
At some point, I'm sure.
Yeah. And like Chris and Darren as well. And you guys are going to, that's what you should think about, I think. Some mental and breathing as well. What I learned was there's a lot of fighters now that are learning a lot about sports psychology and about breathing and how breathing can get you through more rounds. You know, you're going to be gassed out as the rounds go on. So breathing is really, really important. And I think that's what we don't prioritize or we don't think about when we're in fight training.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Breathing. I rewatched the first Never Back Down. And the guy's talking about breathing when they're hitting the bag. And then he kicks the bag and goes across the room. Just got to breathe, man. And then, you can kick people across the room. So I will keep that in mind. I'm also wondering a little bit about... I know you're big into the commentating side of things, the presenting side of things, so not just stepping in the ring to fight another human being, but to present and sort of convey the narrative and the story that's been going on. You've said that your goal is to be the Asian Megan O'Leary, which is a fantastic goal. And I'm wondering, do you plan on meeting Megan O'Leary at any point?
Beating her?
Meeting.
No,
just
meeting her.
Just talking. No challenging. Just yet.
Yeah.
I was like, no, I'm not going to win in that. Yeah. Her husband's jiu-jitsu, you know, it's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. I would love to meet her. I've never been to Vegas yet. And I know she does a lot of commentating there because, you know, the main fights are there. I would love to be mentored by her. I'm in touch with Laura Sanko, and shout out to Laura. She's been so amazing at giving me advice when I was starting out. And she's achieved so much now. You know, she's a color analyst now. She's doing really well for herself. But I would love to meet Megan, and I would love to learn from her. I mean, now that I started going into the movies, you know, like presenting and commentating will still always be there. But I think, like just the way she presents herself, just the way she researches, I think that's the hardest part about commentating is researching about the fighter, you know, what's out there or what's not out there in the media and what kind of story do you want to convey about them, I think is really important and fun.
Do you know if MMA presenters like interact a lot with each other?
Commentators do.
Okay.
But I don't think presenters do. Bear in mind, there's only very few MMA presenters out there. I mean, we have Megan, right? We have Laura somewhere at the top of my head, but there's not a lot of us out there, you know? But I think, you know, they're quite helpful. If you reach out, they're really helpful. And why'd you ask?
I don't know. Just curious.
Just curious. Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah.
Guess I was wondering too, I was reading up that you said that you kind of got a lot of experience by your first experiences, at least by meeting people and DMing them on Instagram and doing that whole thing. Us too. We were wondering if you had any tips for that as well, like networking your way to your dream job, that kind of thing.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that's how I started. I also didn't know how to use Instagram at the time. So that's what I was doing. And then they were like, oh, that seems unprofessional. And I was like, actually, no, a lot of people use it as business, right?
No.
And they were like, why don't you use LinkedIn? But do you know any MMA presenters or commentators on LinkedIn or fighters on LinkedIn? They don't use that. You know what I mean? So you have to use what's the resource out there. So my advice is just go for it. message, have a template. I think templates are really important, and know who you're speaking to, because yes, templates are good, but if it's like not, the person isn't really who the message was supposed to be, they can get offended.
Got to do that homework, got to tailor it a little bit, got to speak to them, show them you know what you're talking about.
Exactly. I mean, why would they be interested in you if you're not interested in them?
Right, putting that work in up front.
It kind of reminds me of when we did those college essays and it was just like a copy-paste essay.
Oh, yeah.
And you entrance, couldn't like tailor it together. Yeah.
I mean, you guys are doing such a good job. Like the research you guys did on me, I was like, I don't have such a public face yet, you know, in the media, but you guys managed to dig some stuff. So good job. Really good.
Thank you. Thank you.
This is what we do. We're detectives on the side. So
yeah. Very yeah. Good. Martial
I'll
arts
hire
PIs.
You guys.
Yeah.
All right. All right.
Sounds
drop
good.
Some paperwork after. And then moving into the film portion of your career, or even just your life, actually, let me ask that first. What's your relationship like with just movies throughout your life? What kind do you watch? How do you like to watch them? What's the story there?
Oh, I really love Disney. This is going to sound so funny. I love Disney, and that's what I grew up with. I grew up with Mulan, you know? I love Mulan. I cut my hair. I actually went to a Taekwondo class, and in the Philippines, you weren't back then. In this particular class, you weren't allowed to be a female to learn Taekwondo. And I was about, I think, 6. So I cut my hair. I went in there, pretended to be a guy after watching Mulan. And I got kicked out because when we did the splits, I screamed like a little girl. So, yeah.
Wow. So you're a legit Mulan character then. You legit
yes.
went through the whole hair process, the whole warrior process. Did you do any kind of musical number as a class? Was that part
oh,
of the
yeah, that's true.
Regimen?
I would do it when I'm like going to school and then everyone would be like, shut up.
Gotcha.
But I've always loved action movies, like always from the beginning as well. I mean, I'm a huge Lucy Liu fan back in Charlie's Angels, you know, she was so badass. And then Kill Bill. You know, I'm like more for like the, you know, the female power. Of course, Jackie Chan,
right.
Keanu, you know, the legends, Donnie Yen. But like, really, I'm more for my sisters, you know?
Impressive. I'd like to see you fight. You do want to help your brother, don't you?
How am I going to pay that back from one fight?
The right fight. Elite audience.
Where then?
Rome.
I think we wanted to get into the actual film. I know you did a little bit of fight training before. I think you said you were injured a little bit. I don't know how much you could talk about. I was wondering, what's the difference between fighting on film versus fighting in real life?
Oh my God, yeah. Fighting in film is so much hard work because I'm just used to landing my shots in my opponents, right, in real life. You have to land that to score, to win the fight. Mine is not to hurt anybody in the films. You know, you have to really just barely touch the actor or the actress or the stunt. You barely touch them. So that was really hard for me. And I'm quite speedy in real life. I had to slow it down for making action films because the camera had to follow me, you know? And I had to coordinate with our DOP where I was going to be moving. And that for me, I found it hard because now I have to think about me and then I have to think about the DOP and I have to think about the actors. I think there's a lot that you need to mentally it's a team, you know, it's a team effort, whereas real life fighting is just you and the opponent. I don't have to worry about anybody else but me and that person.
Yeah that's true.
And unfortunately, yes, I was injured during filming, so I didn't do a lot of action scenes, but I acted my butt off, you know. There's a lot of acting in there and really learned what acting was all about, because I've never acted before. You know, as you know, I became a fighter, then to presenting, and then to movies. So it was really a huge transition. And do you know how I learned how to act? Oh my God, I've never said this in interviews. YouTube, guys, YouTube.
Nice.
Of course.
Yeah.
It's how you learn anything.
Wow. I was thinking maybe the commentating might, you know, help a little bit with the performance. Like it's a little bit both of like performance, right? No.
Honestly, it's not. It's really different.
And oh, like, okay.
My co-stars and my sisters in the film, Hannah, Olivia, Neetu, and Diana, they really helped me a lot with acting, and our director, Kelly, as well, because I didn't know how to work a camera. I didn't know where to look. I didn't even know what lines were. I didn't even know what a script was. You know, I was so new to it, and I really felt like the baby.
I know you mentioned learning a lot, especially from the acting realm during the filmmaking process. Was there anything that you learned from the director, from Kelly Madison on the film? And I know she is a credentialed action filmmaker in her own right as well.
Yeah, I mean, I learned that she just lets the film run. Like she doesn't tell you to cut till she gets what she wants. So as an actor, you have to just keep going and go with the flow. And then that kind of makes you want to improv, right? Because then it's like, okay, this is off script now, but she still wants it to go on. And she hasn't said cut yet. So you better keep doing it. So, you know what I mean? It's like a proper masterclass for me, honestly. And I'm so grateful because I never went to school for acting. So it was cool.
Awesome. It sounds like it's also just so cool to hear someone who sort of made that transition into action filmmaking and acting and the whole Hollywood thing and doing it so successfully right from the jump as well. We have a lot of listeners. I think about half of our listeners who are folks who are trying to break into the action industry and the action filmmaking world. So do you have any advice, actually, for those folks who are looking to break into the scene?
Oh, absolutely. I don't think I'm successful yet, guys. Come on. I just started. it was my first.
You've had one success. one good success.
Yeah.
A little piece of salt. Yeah. My advice, if I had to give one, is just to go for it. And I know it's so cliche, but honestly, there's a lot of thoughts in your head that's not going to tell you you're not good enough. You're going to get rejected. Acting is all about rejection. Okay, so why think of that when you didn't even do it? A lot of people are so hindered and like they don't want to do it because of that fear. You know, it's the same with martial arts. You know, if you're not going to try, you're never going to know. You can judge. I love how fans judge fighters like, why did he take that punch? Why did he do that? Have you tried it? Have you tried getting punched?
Yeah.
It's the same thing. It's how how you just need to go out there for those who want to get into Hollywood or break into move action films. Know your truth, okay? And then just go out there and sell it.
And I feel like it's the kind of thing like it's definitely not an easy thing to do. It's a long process, but on some level it is a simple thing to do. You know what your goal is and you just know there's a couple of steps in between getting there and where you are now.
Yeah, but you're not going to think about that till you do it, right?
Yeah, there you go. And with that, Darren, unless you have other questions, I think we can move on to our closing segment here. Yeah, so before we exit and close out the show, there's actually a little segment that we do, something that we call the 5-Second Fight Club. So this is a segment where we offer some hypothetical fights, and then you have 5 seconds, give or take, to tell us who you think would win and why.
Oh my God.
So if you're ready, it's going to be a quick speed round.
Can I say like
it doesn't
one
need to
word,
actually take 5 seconds, but yeah.
Yeah, you can take more than 5 seconds if you need.
Okay. Does it have to be a sentence like why or just like one word?
It's up to you. We'll leave it up to you.
Yeah. It's pretty open ended. Yeah.
This is like conditioning. I'm sweating. All right.
All right, first matchup is the white whale of the greatest woman of all time fight here, Kayla Harrison versus Amanda Nunes.
Nunes.
Oh, okay.
Good answer.
Yeah.
Do I have to say why, right?
You could say why, but you don't have to.
I mean, she's the GOAT. I mean, what can we say? I don't know, right?
Yeah.
Honestly, that's the best answer you could give.
All right.
Thank you, yeah.
This is the fight for the best memer. Darren Till versus Derek Lewis.
Till, because I'm in England.
Yeah.
Gotta represent.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Gotta represent. Yeah.
All right. I like it. Next up, we have Joanna Jędrzejczyk versus Lucy Liu from Kill Bill.
Oh my God, guys, stop. I love both. I love you, Anna. It's just like my inspo. I want to look like her. Like
how about we throw Mulan in there too?
Oh, yeah. And I want to look like Lucy Liu too. Oh, man. Yeah. Oh, man. 5 seconds. Lucy Liu, because she can fly.
Yeah.
That's true. That is a game changer. So then, yeah, like Darren said, let's throw in Mulan in there. So Lucy Liu versus Mulan. Who wins that one?
Oh my gosh. Whoa, Mulan, hands down.
Okay. Hands down. Right. So easily Mulan.
Yeah, that's because she's a cartoon character. She could never die. So she's technically eternal, right? She
can never age.
So I think that was fair, right?
That's pretty fair. Yeah. I see that. The next one is Royce Gracie versus Donnie Yen from Ip Man.
Oh, I love Royce. You know, he watched my film on the plane and he was so sweet. He was like, oh,
really?
God,
oh.
Yeah. I interviewed him in Bellator London. He was my first person to interview ever as my first presenter.
That's crazy.
He watched my film. So thank you, Royce. Oh my God. I love Royce and I love Donnie. I would say Royce because jiu-jitsu wins any day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It is hard to beat. It is hard to beat.
Donnie can fly too. I don't know.
He can fly. Yeah. he can fly in different ways. Yeah. Damn.
Well, Dana White's going to make it happen, and then we'll actually find out.
That's true.
Next up, we have a Muay Thai battle. So, Sanchai versus Tony Jaa and Ong Bak.
Oh, my God. I mean, like, Tony Jaa's, like, flying knees are impeccable, and then Sanchai's, like, cartwheel kicks. Both.
Okay, just Muay Thai beats
Muay
everything
Thai wins.
Much.
Yeah.
The answer is Muay Thai.
Gotta represent my roots.
All right. I guess next up is Molly from Never Back Down Revolt versus Vanessa Campos.
Oh my gosh. Ooh. Oh, that's a good question, guys. Again, this wins. This is the winner. Well done. You won. Okay, well done. I think Molly would win because she went through shit. You know, she was kidnapped for Molly. She was kidnapped. She was just gone through. I think Molly, because she's a survivor. She's a survivalist. I think I'd just be scared if I was put in an underground fight. I mean, you know, like, I'd shit myself, you know? Sorry, guys.
It's all good. It's all good.
It's an honest answer. I like it.
Yeah.
We have one more matchup in a similar vein to that last one. Janik from Never Back Down Revolt, played by UFC Hall of Famer Michael Bisping, versus UFC Hall of Famer Michael Bisping. Who wins?
Oh, I think Michael Bisping in real life, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah, because I think Yannick, his character is a little, he really is a softie inside, I think. And I think Michael Bisping would just beat the crap out of him. And he has more technique than Yannick. So, yeah, I think Michael Bisping in real life.
All right, there you go.
That's a good answer.
Have it. Thank you for playing the 5-Second Fight Club with us.
I'm sweating.
That is a wrap.
You did
for the
great.
Podcast.
You did great.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, of course. Thank you so much for hopping on. If folks wanted to find you online or follow your work, where could they go?
Instagram. It's not very good, but I'm at Miss Essavan. I should really change it to my real name, but hey.
Is there a backstory behind that? Username?
There is, guys, and I'm so embarrassed. No, because I just, you know, back when we were just starting out Instagram, I didn't want people to find me, especially my family. So I just like put Vanessa the other way around, which is Essavan. Then it was too short for Instagram, so I had to put Miss. So yeah, the Miss_Essavan, which is actually Miss Vanessa, but you know, whatever.
Right, just remixed a little bit. Okay,
yeah,
awesome.
Yeah.
There you go. Thank you so much for hopping on.
If you liked that, please consider supporting us on Patreon at patreon.com/actionfilmmaking and leaving a review on Apple Podcasts. Stay up to date on the show by visiting our website, actiondecoded.com, and by following us on Instagram @actionfilmmakingpodcast. Until next time, thanks for listening.